Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. We appreciate you guys suspecting. The show starts right about now, and you'll join us all the way from here till 4 p.m. as the boys are all back in town ready to go after a weekend. What's up, fellas?
What up?
What is going on, people?
How goes it?
All good.
You getting any sleep at all, new dad?
Nope. Forgot how valuable sleep is and how much you don't get early on in the proceedings.
But it was fall back. You gained an hour. How can you be tired?
Because I fell forward everything that was going on like a landmine. I fell over it, covered it up, and realized, man, there's a lot to do when that. We brought everybody home Saturday.
Good.
Holy moly. It's been great, but it's been sleepless.
So mom and baby are doing well, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lisa's, good. Actually, this is in terms of how long and how trying the C-section was, she's actually more mobile now than she was after a week or two after the first one.
Really?
So, yeah, so it was better.
Good.
And then she overdid it yesterday.
Oh,
and tried
course.
To do too much and kind of fell, and I'm like, all right, you're done. Sit down. That's
you
it.
See? Yeah. Can't trust women.
Well, there's that,
that's,
too.
Yeah.
So what about you?
All good in the hood.
Yeah.
Busy weekend, but I feel you ever had a busy weekend but you didn't do anything?
Yeah,
that was kind of me. Like I got a bunch done, but I didn't do anything. It was weird. It was all just like I organized my closet and that took like 7 hours.
Doesn't surprise me.
And I'm still not done.
Does not surprise me.
But the shirts are in rainbow color, like, you know, it looks really good. It all matches, so I know we're going to get to Texans because that's the big news of the weekend, but I went to Big City Wings on Friday because the burger dropped and had to
your
get,
burger.
Yes,
oh, how was it?
Burger.
How was it?
Yeah. It was good.
That's really like really, good. Really good?
Yeah.
Because it would suck if you had your name on it. It was a terrible burger.
But would you tell us if it did suck?
I wouldn't have brought it up.
Okay.
Because then I'm not telling people to go get it. If it sucked, I'd be embarrassed by it because my name's on it.
Right.
I will say this, though. Again, the way that Sam and the guys over there made it is they added all the fixings. And so it's a regular burger. They just added they make it themselves, but they added the peanut butter to it. As you guys know, I had the peanut butter bacon burger in Tulsa and was like, we need that down here. We need that at Big City Wings. So they did it. They'll add like lettuce and tomato and stuff, but I didn't do that. I just got it. Just plain is that how I recommend it. Yeah, I just recommend meat, burger, bacon, peanut butter. That's it. You'll love it. I promise you'll love it. If you're a peanut butter fan, you'll love this burger.
Okay.
So all good in the hood. Very
good
happy.
Good tip there.
Yeah.
Nick, what item is going to have the Sciarra tag on it?
Oh, I would love that. People would struggle just to order it, though. What would be in it?
Yeah.
What would it be? That's the question. A kebab?
A kebab. Could it be
now
a kebab?
That was racist.
Listen,
no,
I love kebabs.
Why would you? That was so
not.
Racist.
That was a little racist.
Because he's
you.
Middle Eastern.
No,
you
it had nothing to do with that. It had more about the what freaking be, shape of the kebab.
What would be the name of your falafel? What?
Yeah.
That was so racist.
He would probably have like a Granado type of segment.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah. He would go that far.
I don't. Never mind.
I'm actually not mad at you. I'm actually aggravated.
It'd
with
be like,
this pathetic excuse of a mechanic shop by my sister.
Yeah, Nick's been dealing with car issues.
I was going to say, are we going to play male highlight player, female highlight player, Middle Eastern food?
Oh, God.
Is that going to be our game?
That'd be amazing if we can get away
Steph
with something
Curry
like that.
For 100, please.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, your car situation is
what
not
happened?
Good.
Yeah, so like a couple months ago, my sister calls me. They had my car. They were using my car, and they were like, "Hey, we're at the shop because the flat tire," and they said that there's a lot of corrosion on your battery, and it'd be $27 to just clean it. I'm like, man, I've been meaning to clean that forever. I just assumed that they would just clean it, put it back. I was like, yeah, absolutely. $27, let's do it.
Okay.
Well, these guys absolutely replace it with an aftermarket part. Year and a half into this brand new battery, it's dying. We try to go back, and it's just, they admit that they messed it up, but they won't replace the terminal or take care of the situation or refund it or anything.
What?
Yeah, they won't even replace
That's
the terminal.
That's ridiculous.
And they replaced it with like some sort of like whack-ass cheap AutoZone auto parts, like not a good, like a bad version, like the cheaper line.
Like an Equate
there
battery.
There goes that sponsorship.
Yeah, well, I mean.
So is it the battery or the
terminal?
It's like the terminal, and now it's like the wires rusted and all that. It's, yeah. And oh my God, I'm so aggravated with this situation because I got to take my mom to the airport. And then I go up there, and the daughter's like, yeah, you sound like you're right. Walks off, never comes back. Rudy,
this is
Rudy's Automotive in Missouri City, by the way. Not recommended.
Rudy's
Do not care.
Automotive.
Hot garbage.
Missouri City.
Gets an F.
Yeah, your daughter looks rating. Like she does crystal meth.
And then there's that. Wow.
Since you don't want to take care of people, and you're right hot garbage gate. Ass. Excuse of a mechanic shop. Wow. I grew up in a mechanic shop, you piece of crap.
Wow. Rudy.
Enough said.
Is garbage. So if you want your car messed up,
go to Rudy's Automotive.
If you want
in Missouri
to fix,
City.
Do not go to Rudy's.
Yeah, it's hot garbage.
They're bad.
It's a pathetic excuse of a store.
Go to Rudy's wow. for a heart of a champion or
if
barbecue.
If you're looking to score some crystal carpet. Meth, no, that wasn't. That's too far. Wow. Okay. So they won't fix it for you, huh?
Yeah. So I'm doing it myself now. But that place is just. Oh.
But they verbally admitted, or they didn't put it in writing anywhere that they admitted they changed the term.
No, they just admitted. They're like, yeah, whoever did that was an idiot. I'm like, yeah, that idiot was you. Where's the mechanic? Yeah, show him to me. So
you
I can,
guys did it.
Yeah. Where's he at?
Do you not have like a receipt or anything?
I have the receipt. They have it on their system.
Oh boy, I'd be hot.
I'd be talking to lawyer Dave.
I for sure would file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau.
It's amazing how they admit that they are wrong and say they can't do anything about it. Probably one of the just garbage.
Yeah, why can't you? You did it wrong. You certainly could make this better or make it right if you wanted to. Wow.
Lindsay Lohan looking bitch. Just unbelievable.
I love it. A Monday with Nick fired up. Yes.
Wow. We got racist Joel.
Oh, God.
And then we got angry Nick. I'm just over here.
And we've
just,
got Beat My Burger Barry.
Just over here going, what's happening? I'm in a good mood.
Peanut
you guys
butter
just,
burger Barry. Just
yeah.
yeah. Innocent
Look,
all by
see?
Himself.
The first text, 2 minutes in, and racist remark. Well, it's a Monday. See?
I said I had Steph Curry.
I don't think that was the remark.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Whatever.
Well, I'm sorry about your car, Nicholas. You said you're going to have to fix it yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to attempt because if the problem gets worse, it becomes one of those annoying electrical problems that never go away, and that's exactly what I'm trying to prevent.
Right.
And they knew exactly that was the potential case because their idiot did that, and that's why they didn't want to touch it or mess with it anymore.
If gotcha. It works, I would actually film it, and there's this new website called automotivemap.com. I think you could definitely check that out. Take advantage of that. And then possibly for submitting the video, it might help pay for the expenses when you fix your car. Just throwing that out there, as well as Lawyer Dave, as options on a Monday.
There you go.
How about that? Because there is a new website from the Gal Media family.
There is.
AutomotiveMap.com. The kickoff and party and launch is tomorrow night.
You going?
No, I got a kid at home. A newborn.
God, you got
I got
built
the built-in excuse.
Excuse.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. If I didn't have the improv workshop and everything that I'm committed to on a weekly basis, I would go too.
Well, there you go.
But Nick is going to go. He's like, bitch, I'm fixing my
Nick
car.
I keep telling him this, and I'm not kidding. Nick should be front and center all over that website. With his experience and his knowledge and his family business.
Why are you making more work for him?
Because he's going to get paid for it.
I'm actually glad that I didn't expect that Mr. Guy would ever launch a website like that, but I think it's super cool. I really think we have, what is it, 4 or 5 now websites? Because Sports Map, Culture Map, Automotive Map, Innovation Map, Gifting Map. That's five.
Yeah. Five maps.
Every single one of those websites are legit. Like, seriously.
I'm holding out for Map, where they have maps.
That's
what I'm holding out for.
He really wanted Google Map. That didn't work out so well.
That's already taken.
Yeah. So lots of stuff that with our personal lives over the course of the weekend. But, of course, lots of stuff to talk about if you're a Houston sports fan. It starts with the experience over in London, which was a good one if you're a Houston Texans fan, as the Texans got the win. Not so much if you're a Rockets fan and you thought that trip to South Beach was going to be pleasurable, because that was painful. We can talk about that as well. And, oh, by the way, 3:01 today, Houston time, Major League Baseball free agency begins. No, there's no, like, talking period before things can happen immediately. I wouldn't hold your breath that you're going to have like this just influx of moves, but it should be interesting because the list is long of guys that are out there and available, and we already know at the top of it is one Garrett Cole.
The top of it, yeah.
There's no unless doubt. You're ESPN, because then Anthony Rendon is number one.
Which is so weird to me.
But. And by the way, I do want to give a shout-out to Sports Map.
Do your shout.
While I was at the hospital Friday night, shout I got a shout. Note from Brandon and Josh over on the Sports Map side that the video I did, If Cole Leaves, Why Not Strasburg, was in the top 5 all-time in content for the website.
Good for you.
I walked in today. It is now number one.
Oh, look at you.
So if you would, please go to sportsmap.com and check out some of the stuff we put out there on a weekly basis, because that's pretty cool stuff.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Not bad. Very cool. Hey, you know what else is good for you? You get cash back. That's good for you. And you need to do that using GetUpside. I used it this weekend. The wife and I were out running errands, had to stop and get gas. Pull out the GetUpside app on my phone, and I'm getting cash back on that purchase. Guys, this is so easy. And you know what I love? Check this out. Stalker Brian said he's in. He said, I finally bit the bullet. I'm on GetUpside now, and I think he sent me a screenshot of like $5 or $6 back on his first fill-up. Yo, if you're not doing this, stop what you're doing and go download GetUpside right now. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry, just like Stalker Brian did. And you could be getting up to $5 or whatever it is. Jake Asman got 7. So it just depends on the deal that you find in your area. But you could be getting legitimate cash back on that first fill up. And then it continues. Once you get that initial cash back using my promo code Barry, after that you could still be getting up to 25 cents a gallon every single time you fill up. Now, let's be real. Are you going to get 25 cents every single time? No, but you know what? Money is money and cash is cash. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon. You can get up to 35% cash back on food. It's real. It's legitimate. There are listeners with $500 in their account. I saw one listener. He had a check for $50 that he cashed out in immediately when he started using GetUpside and was like, hey, man, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm so glad you guys are using it. I'm so glad you're taking advantage of it. If you haven't already, do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. Coming off a big win for the Texans over in London. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Thomas has tweeted us and asked. He said, I can't find the Automotive Map website y'all were talking about. Please share that link. I don't think the site is live until Thursday morning.
Oh, yeah?
I'll find out, but I know that the party, you got it?
Automotivemap.com.
Well, there you go. So that's all you need, Thomas. automotivemap.com.
Yeah, I'm on the website.
I don't want to know how you spelled automotive, but if you spell it correctly, I'm sure you'll get there.
Yeah.
And Barry did, which is
I'm on it as well, so.
How did you not find it?
I didn't say I couldn't find it. I said I'm reading a tweet from Thomas. Thomas tweeted the show.
So when Thomas tweeted, you didn't immediately just type in automotivemap.com to check?
I read it as we were coming back on air, so no, I did not.
Oh, boy.
That live screening, you know.
I already do not like the way we are getting started.
Got to do everything around here.
And remember now, being sleep deprived and pissed off is not a great combo platter.
Are you threatening me?
Not yet, but it's only hour one.
I feel like he was threatening me.
Wait till we get to the middle of the show.
He's making fun of my reads, and now he's threatening me.
Is that what he just did?
I didn't know that.
He totally did.
So the comedian who can poke fun at any time didn't like it when I said, you know, after all, money is money and cash is cash, because that's what he said in the drop. Then he denied it, and then I gave him the quote back, and then he got pissy.
Is that what happened?
I just realized
that entire conversation.
It was during the commercial.
Yeah, I didn't realize we were doing that. So if we're going to do that, that's cool. All right, let's talk football. Enough shenanigans.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a Houston Texans fan, no matter how much you want to crap all over Bill O'Brien and things the way they've gone ever since Deshaun Watson entered this league, how you should not feel absolutely privileged to say he's your quarterback. And since he has been in the league, he has gotten better and better. And, man, the way he played yesterday and, again, the Houdini acts of escaping and extending plays, he's amazing.
He's
man.
Fun to watch. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's putting on a show. It reminds you a lot of Patrick Mahomes and what he had been doing. And then if you watch that game last night between the Ravens and the Patriots, you see Lamar Jackson kind of doing similar things. And he's fun to watch. The crazy thing is this, and look, he's, you know, his escapability is off the charts, and it's a good thing because the offensive line doesn't give him a lot of time, you know, most of the time. He still gets some time in the pocket, don't get me wrong, but it's good that he can escape, but it makes it more fun. If this offensive line was that good, if it was one of the top 10 offensive lines in the NFL, would we get to see that Deshaun Watson on display? I was thinking about that, because if they were really that good, we may be like, he's all right.
We've talked about that. Yeah, we talked about this last season, too, and that's why it'd be interesting to see how he would react to a good offensive line. We've just never been able to see that.
Can I add to that?
Well, it's upping his stock, basically, is what it's doing.
Not just an offensive line, but how about an offensive coordinator that was innovative and open to really opening up the playbook and letting him go in a lot of ways? Because that's why I said it would have been interesting to see his career path had he been drafted by the Chiefs with Andy Reid and his offensive genius and the way that they play football as opposed to what the Texans put him through early on. Now, granted, he had some maturing to do as well,
yeah,
and learning about how long to hang on to the football, things like that. But overall, when you've seen the maturation process lead you to what you saw yesterday, you're like, lock that dude up, because it is awesome that as much agony as this city has had to endure with all the quarterback freaking changing of the guard every week, it seemed, this guy is the real deal.
Well, thank God that the referees got the memo about calling him in the grasp too soon, because right, ever since that happened, you know, you had the next week where he got kicked in the eye,
yep,
falling down, made the touchdown pass again. He had another one of those where he was in the grasp, going to the ground, and gets a ball off to Duke Johnson, yep, in the flat. So thank God that they've kind of gotten the memo that, hey, you got to let this kid run a little bit. You got to let him play, even though he could get hurt. It's just he can make plays, you know, with the slightest of windows. So that's made it more fun. We got to give some credit to what he's doing and what this offense is doing to Bill O'Brien, because he's taking some of what Deshaun Watson did in college and he's incorporating it into the NFL with these run pass options and the ability to look off a defender in the run game and decide, is he going to give the ball to Hyde or Duke Johnson? Is he going to keep it and run, or is he going to keep it and throw it? So I think a lot of credit needs to be given to Bill O'Brien or whoever is in charge of calling these plays and changing the way this offense looked, because it's noticeable.
But I'll say this too, to your point that I was also thinking about yesterday watching that game last night. For all that everybody always says about the NFL formula only works with a pocket passer that has to be a certain height and a certain arm strength and, you know, all these other things. If you watch these two dudes play football, being Jackson and Watson, and you realize that you can use, like you said, an open offense where you can do RPOs and you can do, you know, the options to give the quarterbacks chances to run, they're hard to stop. And when you look at how it's all come together, the other thing I'd say to your point, Bill O'Brien gets credit, but it's almost like the same way he did with the roster this year. He finally just decided to throw caution in the wind and go, screw it, I'm going for it. I'm just going to take my chances and let the cards fall what they may. Just like he did by making all these moves, giving up draft picks to try and get this team better this year. I think also from an offensive play calling standpoint, whether it's him and the OC or just him deciding, you know what? We got to give this kid a chance to succeed in the process. It'll make us look better, and we're going to do things a little differently this year. Because it's been refreshing to see this offense.
I mean, I would say that he's definitely more evolved in the way he coordinates the offense. He's better. I can't crap on Bill O'Brien after a win like that. Is he a great offensive mind? He hasn't really shown that. He's just shown that he's evolved and he's gotten better. I would like to obviously give him a credit every time he wins, and I'm going to give him credit now. I think the other thing that the Texans did is that they ran the ball well, and I think that allowed Deshaun Watson. I mean, he didn't throw for a ton of yards. I think it was, what, 200, 201 yards or something like that. That helps Deshaun Watson when he doesn't necessarily have to throw that well. They kept pushing the running the ball, and it helped, and it helped a lot.
Yeah, he was efficient, 22 of 28 for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's an efficient, that's a really good day. I mean, it's not a sexy 300-yard passing day, but it's a really good day, especially when you consider they had over 200 yards rushing, like you said. So it wasn't necessary for them to throw the ball around a lot. They got out to an early lead. It, you know, going into the fourth quarter, they were already up 19-3. So they didn't need to throw the ball around. They weren't playing catch up like the Jags were doing all day, which is why Gardner Minshew threw for 300 yards and probably would have been more if he was accurate. But I thought he had an awful day passing. It was wildly inaccurate.
And I had said on Friday when we were talking about how this game was going to go, I said whoever would win the rushing battle, I think, would win the game. I did not expect for the Texans to rush the ball like they did. I did not expect for them to have their way. But here's who I would give the Unsung Hero Award to, and that is the defense of the Houston Texans. Without J.J. Watt, they found a way to put pressure on Minshew. Yes, he threw for 300 yards, but he was throwing for most of the game because they were playing from behind. But I thought the defense came together pretty well to put pressure on the quarterback and do some things, and also limit a guy that's been playing pretty well in Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I thought defensively they played a pretty good game, especially when you consider how depleted they are. But again, you got to keep in mind, I think a lot of people expected Gardner Minshew to come back down to earth a little bit, and it looks like he did that in this game. And I think he cost himself the starting job because I think they were flipping a coin between him and Foles when Foles was going to be back after the bye week. And I think this game with 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, a couple fumbles, probably cost himself the starting job. I think he could have held on to it if they won this game. So he probably didn't do himself any favors. And yeah, I think you said it. I think, you know, we talked about it on the show several times about the rushing game, and that's both of these teams like to run the ball. Both these teams like to stop the run, and whoever could win that battle would probably win the game. But that was so lopsided.
And the thing, what I'm saying, but when you look at it prior to the start of the game and say, who are you taking, Fournette or Hyde? And then when you bring in the combination of that and the offensive line.
They actually didn't do that bad. They averaged a little over 5 yards a carry. They just didn't carry it enough. They should have just kept running the ball, I felt like, with Jacksonville. The Texans, I believe, was a little over 6 yards per carry that they averaged in the entire game. I just felt like the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't run the ball enough. And to y'all's point about Minshew, that was huge. 3 consecutive turnovers in the second half. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's what allowed the Texans to put that game away by scoring twice. I think it was a field goal and a touchdown. Minshew, by the way, had 2 interceptions the entire season. He doubles that by getting 2 in this game.
Yeah.
7 fumbles leading into this game. He gets 2 more. So now he has 9. I can see why he would lose his, to your point, I can see why he would lose his job to Foles. Because you don't want to turn a ball over in this situation right now, especially if you don't have all the offensive weapons working with you.
He solidified a place in this league based on how he's been able to come in as an undrafted free agent and play, but he's still got a lot of work to do to be a starting quarterback in the league. Because I agree with you. I think he had a chance to keep it, and he's not going to. So when you look at all things being considered, look, that's a good win for the Texans. And now here comes the gauntlet. Because now you got a 3-game stretch that can make or break your whole season. When you're talking about the Colts, which you could catch without Jacoby Brissett, which would be a big deal. But you also have Baltimore and New England in that stretch. It's a big 3-game stretch that can make or break your whole season right now.
Yeah, I mean, what I don't, I got to look at the schedule again. Who is it?
It's New England here,
Ravens. So it's Ravens next.
At Baltimore, then New England. Yeah. I mean, then Indy, then New England. Right?
Yeah.
Here, the last two. But those 3 games, man, against playoff caliber teams, it's going to say a lot about this team and the fact that look, kudos to everybody involved for them being having the record that they have at this point in the season based on where we had predicted them to be. But there's still plenty of work to be done because, you know, half the division is crap, but it's going to come down to, as we said, Indy and the Texans. And it just depends on a lot of variables. But you got to take care of business at home against some pretty tough opponents.
How about Bill O'Brien going for it early on that fourth down? Yeah. I tweeted it out. I guess he's feeling very Frank Reich, because that was something that the Colts head coach did to the Texans, and going for two to win the game and all those things. And old Billy O is out here slinging it around and having some fun and switching up the offense. So, you know, he's he's not happy about it, but maybe he has listened in his own way to the criticism a little bit.
Don't you also feel like that's, again, that last kind of variable in screw it, I'm just going for it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that he trusts his team. I don't know if that he's trying to turn over a new leaf and be a different kind of coach. I don't know what it is. I just like it. I like watching this team right now. They're a fun team on offense. Defensively, they held up. But granted, the Jags aren't a great offense. But it's fun to be a Texans fan right now.
It's also fun if you are using Infuse Energy for your energy company. I've been talking about it for quite a while. I switched about 3 years ago. I renewed with them recently. And why wouldn't I? Because it starts with the customer service. They treat you right. They got a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. So therefore, you can't get treated any better than they're going to treat you. And also, when you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-4 463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone and not an automated system. You're not going to get frustrated yelling yes, no, and all the different things that you need to do to get the thing to go. You're going to get a person that's going to ask you as many questions as you ask them. They're going to find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business or your family? And go from there until they get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. Lots of listeners have tried it and are glad they did, and they made the switch, and you can too. It's really simple. You can check out everything they have to offer at infuseenergy.com and then give them a call, and they'll do the rest. Right off the top, ESPN 97.5 is mentioned, $25 bill credit for you. So that's what you need to do. And you go from there. It's simple, and it's really just about their business plan. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips as well. So I encourage you to infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of the show is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride on a Monday in the big city. After a Texans win, good stuff coming out of everything, basically. I thought that aside from what we already covered, one of the big things, too, was the fact that the receiving core was good. Very interesting, this Kiki QT thing. Like, he was basically a healthy scratch again. And it seems like he's fallen off the depth chart. I don't know if that's just his inability to stay healthy or they've just lost confidence for a lot of reasons. He's out, but Kenny Stills continues to impress, made a couple tough catches. They had sent out a note that said that he's questionable to return with a groin, and next series he was out there and he was making plays. And obviously Hopkins is Hopkins. His hands are fantastic, and he's got that chemistry with Deshaun. So I thought the receiving core was fantastic too.
Yeah, it was a weird day for me. I mean, Duke Johnson was the leading receiver, but Hopkins had 11 targets. It was like the Jacksonville secondary did a good job of preventing any deep pass plays. The Texans never really took the lid off the defense, so to speak. A lot of underneath stuff, but that's still a good thing to see Deshaun Watson being patient, because we talk about 2 weeks ago, we talked about him throwing into triple coverage in the end zone and being lucky that it just fell to the ground innocently and didn't get intercepted. So it's fine. I'm glad he's taking it underneath, and we see that it doesn't have to be super sexy and all big plays to be a really good and functional offense. So I was glad to see that. And one thing they're going to have to figure out is the kicking game. Another PAT miss because it got blocked. This is just going to continue to be an issue. And you can't be a playoff team that anyone takes seriously if you can't make your extra points, period. They're going to have to figure that out. And now – I get it. In this case, Fairbairn, you know, it got blocked. That's not necessarily his fault, but it still is. He's responsible for getting the ball through the upright. So that's something they've got to clean up. If there was one negative, it was that. I'm just shaking my head going, really? Another missed extra point for this team. Not good.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And I think Kaimi Fairbairn is a good kicker. And I obviously know that, you know, how the way they think around there, too, because they used a draft pick on him, that they're going to give him a little extra wiggle room, as they did with Randy Bullock. But, yeah, you're right. It's something that they have to clean up. They have to focus on. But in terms of what you mentioned with Duke Johnson, I mean, the thing that's impressive to me is we knew when they made this move, he wasn't going to be brought in to be their every down back.
Though they tried.
Although they did give him some opportunities. But I'll say this. Once he's found his niche and his ability to catch the ball on a consistent basis and give Deshaun that safety blanket and that easy dump down exactly right to get some yards, boy, the offense has taken a huge step up just by that. He's been great.
Yeah, it's looked a lot better with them incorporating it, you know, what he can do into this offense and giving them some different options. And he's had some good runs, too. And I know you tweeted to me during the game.
Playing with you.
Yeah, but you were right, though. I mean, this was the first game where I really thought Duke Johnson looks like he belongs in the offense. He's always made some stupid mistakes or looked a little lost out there. This was a good game by him and the offense, and I thought he looked like he fit a lot better. And if we're passing out, you know, kudos and gold stars, mm-hmm. also you got to give one to Gerrion Conley. That dude played out of his mind, and I thought it was refreshing because you're like, oh boy, you know, no, Gardner Minshew doesn't necessarily scare you, but as bad as it could have been with that secondary, with, you know, guys hurt and Jonathan Joseph a step slower, I thought Conley played really, really well.
He had one where the game was still, you know, up for grabs, and he wasn't in an ideal position when the ball was thrown, but once the receiver's hands made contact on the ball, he was quick to just make sure he made a play off the receiver's wrists and the football, pushed it down, got the ball knocked free, and it's like, you know what? You can see why
they went and
got him, and you could see why he was a first-round draft pick. Sometimes it's like, you know, we go back to the Travis Johnson scenario of when you play in a 4-3 and then you get drafted to a 3-4 system. Sometimes the first opportunity you get in the NFL, as good as you may have been in college, just isn't the right fit. But if this kid turns out to be the right fit, he could help them big time.
Well, to give you an idea, the Jags had two pass deflections as a defense. Conley had two on his own. So, and it's, you know, you're not talking about, it's not like the other like tackles or whatever, you're going to have 6, 7, or 8. You might get a couple in a game. In fact, nobody else had two. Every other defensive player had just one pass deflection. So I thought he had a really good game. You know, he had led the team in tackles with 8. So I thought he did great, and it was good to see and refreshing. And, you know, like, oh, thank goodness. Maybe they do have some help back there for an old Jonathan Joseph.
Because a lot of people were actually hoping that once he got hurt, he was doing that to himself to get out of there so he didn't embarrass himself. Jonathan Joseph. But because we're going to turn the page and we're going to be the positive suspects, got each other's back, I want to back up what you said about Gerrion Conley. He had 12 targets during the course of the game, only 4 completions for a total of 26 yards, only 6.5 yards per completion. And he had 3 pass breakups. Only got 2 first downs, both in the first half. That's a pretty outstanding game for a guy that hasn't been with your team for very long.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. That was my big, you know, from defensively, I thought, wow, that was my big takeaway, is he did an outstanding job.
So. I would agree. I would agree. And so, look, a lot to be positive about as they get out of London. And again, that was a tough environment because of the travel. Because of the fact that it's not something that they do every year, unlike what Jacksonville does, and they've got a routine because they've been doing it now for several seasons. But the fact that they were able to get in, they were fresh, they looked like right from the get-go, they were ready to play, they had energy, and they got the win. They're in a good position right now because of the fact that, as I mentioned, with Jacoby Brissett going down with a knee injury, we don't know how long he's going to be in there. But if you're a Texans fan and you know that his replacement is Brian Hoyer, you're like, hey, advantage Texans, only kicker for them is, like I said, this schedule is going to be tough for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. When is their bye week? It's coming up, right?
Yeah, I think it's coming up. It's this week.
It's this week.
It's this week. Them and the Jags are off this week, and the following week they pick back up with Indy.
Okay.
So, yeah, it definitely good things going for the Texans when you look at where we thought that they were going to be, and you look at their record right now. Hey, they're in the thick of things. That's all you can ask for. with a team that you had so many questions when they came into the season. So hopefully things will progress there. Another team that we're hoping things progress for is your Houston Rockets, and we wanted to make sure that you know that they're in Memphis tonight to wrap up a road trip, and then they're going to come back to Toyota Center. It's Wednesday as the Rockets take on the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, Curry's out. Yeah, they're struggling, but yeah, that's a great reason to go in there and just rub it in on Golden State and root for your Rockets because of all the rivalry that's been there with the Warriors over the last couple years. It's an early 6:30 tip. Doors open at 5 o'clock. $2 hot dogs, $5 beers until game time, so get there early. It's Westbrook and Harden and the Rockets versus the Warriors. $2 hot dogs, $5 beers until tip-off. No-brainer, right? Limited number of tickets are still remaining, starting at just $29. All you got to do to get your tickets, Rockets.com. Rockets.com, it's your one-stop shop for everything Houston Rockets. Go out and see the Rockets and the Warriors this Wednesday night at Toyota Center.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we have spent a majority of this hour talking about the Texans, the big win, the takeaways that all of us had from watching the early. I do enjoy the early game, by the way. I know it's a pain in the ass for the teams that have to travel and all that other stuff, but it's kind of sweet when you can go 8:30 a.m. one game and then go noon games.
Right.
3:25s, 7 o'clock. It's like, if you want to,
you love football,
plant on your couch and you do not have to leave.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic day of football. That's why I used to love, one of the advantages living on the West Coast was you could always, you know, you could go out the night before. Yeah. And you get up a little late, you sleep in. And oh, by the way, you wake up at like 9:45 and go, football starts at 10 a.m. and takes you right through. I can recover nicely on the couch.
Yeah.
So that was cool. That was I liked that. Breakfast with the Texans and then got right into the action. Any takeaways from the rest of the game? Did you watch anything else?
I watched that Sunday night game.
Fantastic.
Well, most of it. Boy.
Dude, I'm telling you what.
What I didn't understand early was the Ravens just go to, first of all, they just march down the field on that New England defense, punch them right in the mouth, go down and score. Before you know it, they're up, what, 17?
17-0.
And one of the things I didn't understand was that Tom Brady and that offense come out, they go 3 and out, they give the ball back, they go back down, I think they kick a field goal, so now it's 10-0. Then they come out in a hurry up, they get one first down, then they go 3 and out again. And I was like, your defense, the time of possession in the first quarter, what, I think that the Patriots offense was on the field for maybe 2 minutes, three at the most. And I'm like, why are you running the hurry up? That didn't make any sense at all.
Because
I think that, I mean, obviously they feel confident in Brady, but it backfired and their defense was exhausted because of it.
And I witnessed it firsthand because of the Green Bay game. But a lot of times when your offense doesn't seem to just have their timing or they're not on the same page, a lot of times the hurry up can kind of, one, it makes the defense play on their heels a little bit. And it's tough for them to sub personnel in and out and change a lot of looks and things like that. From an offensive standpoint, it can build rhythm. And it can get you in a rhythm, but it can also backfire.
Or you can go 3 and out and put your tired-ass defense back on the field to give up another touchdown, and that's exactly what happened.
I'll tell you this. Without the fumble on the special teams, I think Baltimore could have put them away and just ran away and hid the way they were playing in the first half early on. That turnover, unfortunately, let the Patriots do Patriot-type things, and they pounce on you whenever you give them an opportunity like that in a second chance. And before you knew it, it went from 17-0 to, whoops, we got a ball game, and it's 17-14 real quick, and then it went from there. But I'll tell you what, and I know the comparisons are there, and sometimes they're not even fair, but for everybody that crapped all over Jackson and said, this guy, you know, first of all, people questioning where he should be drafted, and they wanted to make him a receiver and all these other things. Mm. His passing's good, and it's probably still going to get better. But athletically and running the football, the combination of speed, athleticism, and his quickness, I dare say that's better than I saw with Michael Vick. Some of the stop starts, change direction things he did yesterday, it's crazy good.
I mean, I got in trouble on Twitter for making a comparison between him and Mike Vick. But I think Mike Vick was a better passer.
which is he was underrated for.
Right. Oh, yeah. But I think the throwing motion-wise, and if you look at their ball, the fact that they throw kind of three-quarter arm, it's a tight spiral. I mean, they throw bullets. Both of them did. I don't know. I think he might be a smoother runner. I think Vic was more elusive.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think Vic was more elusive. And then you got to, you know, okay, well, so there's this. I was looking at, I don't know, there was an article on ESPN that was talking about midseason awards, right? And they had all of them. You know who the top three MVPs were in the midseason awards for Barnwell?
Russell Wilson.
It was Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Lamar Jackson. That was your three MVPs right now in the NFL, according to Bill Barnwell or whatever the hell his name is.
That's right.
Which I thought, okay, well, let's look at it. Both of all three of them are quarterbacks that can get out of the pocket and make you miss and run. But all three of them also can beat you with their arms. So they're not just running quarterbacks. And let's be real, at some point, a lot of us thought that that's what at least two of these guys were going to be. I think everybody, you know, once you saw Russell Wilson, you're like, all right, that guy can throw the ball. But Deshaun Watson, you knew he had an arm, but could he translate that into the NFL? And the same thing was true for Lamar Jackson. Now, he only threw for 163 yards, but he didn't need to. The Ravens ran for 210.
I mean, when you watch him turn the corner and you watch him accelerate to once he finds a hole, it's like he has a combination with the burner ability. And then the one that really got me was he was scrambling around in the back of the pocket and he kind of circles back around from his left to his right. He starts going right, stops on a dime, backs up two steps, goes left again, and then has enough because he's almost basically at a standstill. And then just like that, 0 to 100 in like two steps, and he's like, boom, gone. There's 7 or 8 yards, and you're like, golly, this kid is talented.
How cool is it that you get to watch, you got to watch it if you had the right NFL packages, you got to watch Deshaun Watson in the morning, Russell Wilson in the afternoon, and then Lamar Jackson at night. And it was basically, it's three guys doing similar things in and out of the pocket.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
No doubt about it. I mean, it was impressive to watch. And I think that they might have put the whole league on notice, and it goes back to what you were saying. Based on what the Texans were able to do, and then watching what Lamar Jackson did last night, for all that everybody thinks that there's this don't break the mold formula that you got to have to win and be successful as a quarterback in an offense in the NFL, break that mold if you're looking at guys like that, because those two guys are special. And maybe one does. I think Deshaun passes the ball a little better than Jackson.
Well, I was going to ask you, if I made you pick, if you're drafting, your two choices for a quarterback for a team is Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson.
I'm taking Deshaun because of his passing ability and because he's got a little different. He's learned enough to have that maturity level that's a little bit further ahead than where Jackson is decision-making and such.
Okay.
Despite your point about, which I agree with, about Deshaun Watson getting more of a spotlight because he's never been behind on a good O-line, I'm still going to pick Deshaun Watson because I think a good O-line would help the situation. It wouldn't make it better. It may not put that spotlight that you're talking about on Deshaun Watson, but I still think it would do wonders for someone like Deshaun. And I think it'll actually help his passing because he'll have time to throw and get more reps that way.
Yeah, I think he's a better passer than Lamar Jackson. I think, again, they both have similar skill sets in a lot of the things that they do. All right, if I made you choose, since we're talking about the three MVP candidates right now, if you're drafting between Russell Wilson and at their peak, at knowing what you know now.
No age difference, right? At similar times in their career.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to take Russell Wilson.
I'm going to have to agree with Joel. It's hard. It's hard for me to. Maybe if we saw two more seasons of Deshaun Watson, it'd be easier for me to pick him.
Yeah. I'm with you. But it's not like it's just an easy decision.
It's not a slam dunk, right?
Yeah, you take Russell Wilson because I feel like his skill set is a little more polished. You know, like you talked about decision making. I don't think there was ever a question where people were ever like, oh, man, he's got to get better at decision making. And Russell seemed to just come out and be good.
Well,
and
yeah,
Deshaun
that's the
is
thing.
Learning how to be great, you know.
There's never a question of arm strength, but in terms of the three, the one that can thread the needle the most, put the touch pass where it needs to go over the top, I think Wilson gets that when you look at the three careers on a parallel arc. And as you look at him now, obviously Wilson's accomplished a lot more, but that's not to say that Jackson's not going to continue to get better and that Deshaun already has shown, for as good as he was coming into the league, how much better he's gotten to get them to the point and get his career to the point where we're talking about him as an MVP.
Remember when, and I'm not suggesting that he's there yet, but if you are tracking and you're kind of eyeing the future, Remember when Dabo Sweeney said whoever drafts Deshaun Watson is drafting the Michael Jordan of the NFL?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And people were like, okay.
Settle down, bud.
You know what? At times, when you see some of the plays that he makes, it harkens back to watching Jordan make some of the plays that he made and just going, how? I'm not suggesting he is. I'm just suggesting that there are flashes of it where you go, oh, that's what he meant.
Yeah, people forget what he did. When you take the combination of what he did in college, like MJ, when he put his mark on the planet when he made the shot against Indiana in the finals, and then all of a sudden it was just a meteoric rise. But remember now, Deshaun on the biggest stage took down the biggest of all of the David Goliath scenarios with Alabama, and he actually had a chance to do it in two separate years. So his career has been fantastic. And Lamar, what do you say about a guy who won the Heisman Trophy? You know, you got to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But Deshaun does have that highlight type of reel that kind of gives you that MJ feel. He really does. Yeah. I mean, the play, I mean, obviously Hyde deserves a lot of credit on this play, but where he threw it back behind him to Hyde, and then he was able to make that run.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that
Deshaun keeping it alive and making that split decision. Because when he went to do it, I was like, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, that's good.
It looked like he was going down.
And on top of that, to know where his guy was.
Right.
And know, oops, I'm not throwing it to an offensive lineman or a guy that's not supposed to touch football. So that's fantastic.
And you could see him kind of being like, because you could, you know, people were, he was laughing about it, like, huh.
Like, what do you want me to do? That was the best I can come up with, and it worked.
Yeah. I mean, there are times, you know, getting kicked in the eye, throwing a touchdown, one-eyed, falling down.
It builds a legacy and a legend.
It's those kinds of plays, that play to Carlos Hyde, and the same one where he's falling down, throws it to Duke Johnson in the flat.
Yep.
Those are going to be a part of a highlight reel this year.
Forever.
Look back
in
2019 and go, that kid is special. I don't, you know, he may not be great. Ever, but he's special. He is certainly capable of making plays that make you just go, wow.
Yep, no one else makes you go, wow. When you're looking for a place to watch sports, you know there's five locations in the Houston area to find a Twin Peaks near you. And Twin Peaks has everything you need, from 29-degree beer on draft that's waiting for you ice cold, to all the made-from-scratch menu items, the appetizers, the main course, and, of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. And they've got specials going on all month. Right now, just to let you know, those beautiful Twin Peaks girls, the calendars are now in. They've got what you've been waiting for, the 2020 Twin Peaks calendar. Your favorite store or online shop has yours today. The calendar features one Twin Peaks girl from every store around the country, $75 in savings throughout the year, $5 from every calendar purchase is donated straight to Folds of Honor. You're welcome. Get yours in store at twinpeaksrestaurants.com/shop or at any one of the five locations. And I'm telling you, if you get out of the house, you go to Twin Peaks. They got all the screens. They got all the subscriptions to all the sports packages. And as I said, it's not just a saying, it's a way of life. If you want to get everything taken care of for you so you don't have to at the house, it's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views, it's got to be Twin Peaks.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.